Aaron Copland. My God, what is he up to now?
In case you missed it, USA, USA, Puerto Rico wins the Caribbean World Series in baseball, beating Mexico 1-0. So what it is, in all the winter leagues and all the Caribbean, so in Puerto Rico, in Dominican Republic, in Mexico, in Venezuela, all these places have baseball leagues.
Yeah.
They play their league, and so the winning team, whoever wins the league, goes and plays for the Caribbean World Series. So it's like a Mexico team and a team from Criollos de Cagua. Okay, that was the team from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And then the team that represented Mexico was the Águilas de Mexicali.
Okay.
So those are two teams.
Their rivalry is fierce, from what I understand.
No. But anyway, so they won. So hey, big news. Listen, it is a big deal. It is a big deal to win the Caribbean World Series if you're in Latin South America or in the Caribbean.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
I have a friend who's Puerto Rican. I will ask her if she paid any attention to it at all.
Is your name Maria?
No, it is not.
Oh, what a friend.
I totally spaced idea.
You know what her name is? It's
That is just embarrassing.
And her sister.
I completely blanked.
Wow.
Like it was right there.
Wow.
Vivian. Her name is Vivian.
That doesn't sound very Puerto Rican.
Well, she's Puerto Rican.
I knew a Puerto Rican. Her name was Hanoi. What? That was her name, for reals.
Hanoi. Wow.
I asked her about that. She said, my parents were communists.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll take your word for it. I'm sure that the Caribbean World Series is a huge deal, especially for those people, for the fans that follow those teams. And you're right. It was a beautiful day today. And I actually started thinking about baseball, because now that there's no football, which you started this whole show off with, to bring us down, reminding us that there's no more football. It is sad. But this, my favorite part of baseball season is the first like 2 or 3 weeks of the season, because your team still has a chance. It's still new and fresh and fun. And I do love opening day of baseball. I do. God help me.
This just in, the Rockies are already 5 out.
They're already mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. And pitchers haven't even shown up for practice yet.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. But it's okay, because I will go see Rockies games. I don't care how far out they are.
You're the problem. You're the part of the problem.
I get it.
I mean, I'm the same way, so I'm part of the problem too. But, you know, I can't help it that the beers are tasty and the hot dogs are good and the sun is warm in the summer.
And the stadium is
fantastic. It's empty. And you can go to the bathrooms and sit up in the lounge and not even have to watch terrible baseball.
You know, it's funny, though. By the end of the season, I'm hating baseball because I live right over near the stadium. And every time there's a game, the traffic is horrendous because they play like those 6 o'clock games. So it's already rush hour. And now you've got traffic for the game. And when the stadium is full, I can't use my messaging on my phone because everyone's overloading the towers that are nearby. It's a pain in my butt by the time I get to the end of the season. But the first couple weeks, man, I do love it. That is a first world problem right there.
Oh, my God. I have to go use light rail. Ugh. And then I have to walk 2 blocks to get to a bus station. Oh, it just hurts.
Oh, no, I still drive. I just moan about
what?
It. What? Complain about it. I just complain about the whole time.
Oh, my God. We complain too much. Listen, we complain about the Rockies and because the Rockies have this history where, you know, that they've been burnt. So they're just once bitten, twice shy sort of thing where mm-hmm. they really are interested in really not wasting their money with people like people like Brett Saberhagen and people like Bill Swift and people like Mike Hampton and people like Danny Nagel and people like Daryl Kyle and people like, you know, like if you understand what I'm saying.
No, but you know what's funny? They're in a rock and a hard place because if they don't try to go out and sign these big names and they get accused of not spending enough money to make the team better, but then when they do and they bring these guys in who can't pitch at altitude and end up getting hurt, now they get
a difficult proposition, man. It's a total mental case. I say this all the time, and now you'll probably hear me say it another million times. I have worked, covered the Rockies since Coors Field has been there.
Right.
So I've been in the locker rooms every year I've been there.
Right.
And there has not been one game where I can recall where someone in the visiting clubhouse has not asked a question to the starting pitcher about the altitude in Coors Field and how hard is it to pitch there. So why are guys going to come here when that's all they know?
That's why you have to home grow them.
You do have to home grow them. But I get arguments about this with people because they say, oh, no, you need to bring in people who have the right mentality. People don't have the right mentality. You don't know how it's going to be until you're here.
I have a solution.
I do, too. I want to hear yours first.
Okay, my solution is this. You'll carry extra pitchers on your roster. You're not going to have as many position players. But you carry enough pitchers, starting pitchers. I'm not talking bullpen. I'm talking starting pitchers. So you can have a rotation that you label, here's our home rotation and here's our away rotation. And the pitchers that can pitch well at Coors Field, they're part of the home rotation. And they only pitch when we're at home. And then when we're on the road, you have pitchers that are good pitchers but can't pitch at Coors. They're your road rotation.
I know what your problem is. Then you have guys that aren't pitching like every 4 days, so they're pitching once every, you know, maybe once every 2 weeks.
That's okay.
No, my
put them in the bullpen. Put them in the bullpen then.
My solution?
Yeah.
Make all the starters knuckleballers. So you have all the stuff. No, you guys are laughing at me again. This is, I'm not kidding.
Well, I don't think. Okay, all right. So
listen. So you have all starters that are knuckleballers. So you go. A knuckleballer can go deep. They don't even know where it goes, and a knuckleball is not necessarily affected by the altitude because nobody knows where a knuckleball goes. And just because it's not going as 8% as far as where nobody knows it's going to go, it's still going where nobody knows it's going to go. Does that make sense? Did that just make sense?
No. So you don't know where the ball is going to go.
You don't know where the nose. Yeah, and simply because it's not breaking as much as it would normally do somewhere else, it's still not gonna. It's still you don't. Nobody knows where it's going to go, so it's still going to be a deceiving pitch. And once they start being able to hit, then you bring in your bullpen, who are all fireballers.
See, I think you start with your fireballers. Tell me yes or no. The big unit, had we been able to get him instead of Arizona years ago, the big unit, would he have been successful in Denver? You can't hit a home run if you can't hit him.
Yeah, but you would see him probably, because there'd be a lot of balls that would be just high balls or fly balls that will be out. And so I just don't think that he has a makeup. I think Curt Schilling could have been successful here.
He didn't.
He
had the right mentality. Here's the thing. If you're predominantly a splitter or a curveball pitcher, you are probably not going to do well in Denver. You just aren't, unless you keep it on the ground all the time.
No, you just got to listen. You just got to make sure. It's kind of like golf. It's amazing how similar golf and baseball are in terms of, you know, where you're just trying to find a rhythm. You're trying to find the rhythm, and the best way you can get to a rhythm is to go through your mechanics and then forget your mechanics. If that makes sense. So you go through your mechanics and then you forget it.
You don't think about it.
But if you keep that tight and you keep coming down on it, all right, and breaking, it'll break. It's not going to break all the time, but the more pressing problem that hindered the Rockies before was before the humidor was the fact that the baseballs would get so dry that they felt like they told us it was like throwing pool balls,
right?
Because they were so hard. So that the now that they get a feel on it.
Mm-hmm.
That has alleviated a lot of the problem that pitchers have, but pitchers still are hearing sort of the fable about how hard it is. And don't get me wrong, it's a very large ballpark. There's a lot of open ground. You're not going to have a low ERA. You're probably not going to win a Cy Young because, frankly, a couple of years, you know, if you know, Jose or Jorge De La Rosa didn't win a Cy Young a couple of years ago,
which was ridiculous,
then no one is ever going to win a Cy Young.
You win 21 games in Denver. They ought to just gift wrap that.
You come here to play in front of 43,000 if you're good, 20 if you're bad.
And if you win 21 games, you win a Cy Young, straight up in Denver. That's almost impossible to do.
What were we talking about? All of a sudden, I heard Rosanna. Rosanna.
It's yacht rock, man. I do like this song.
Rosanna.
That was such a geek.
Oh my god! Remember when this was considered like hard rock?
Never.
Hard rock.
Never.
Hard yacht rocking. Hard yacht rocking. Back after this.
It's Darren Copeland. We'll have more of whatever that was coming up.